Lesson 50, the main one, the one that tells the truth. So just take a deep breath, relax, take a deep breath, tell yourself, I'm willing to focus now, I'm willing to focus now, I'm willing to focus in now, I'm willing to focus in now. I'm willing to focus in now. I'm willing to focus in now. I am sustained by the love of God. It's the answer to every problem that will confront you today, tomorrow, and throughout time. In this world, you believe you are sustained by everything God. Your faith is placed in the most trivial and insane symbols. Pills, money, protective clothing. Your faith is placed in influence, prestige, being liked, and knowing the right people. That you endow with magical powers. All these things are your replacements for the love of God. All these things are cherished to ensure that you will continue to identify with just only being a body. All these things, pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people, are songs of praise to the separate mind, to the ego. Do not put your faith in the worthless. The worthless will not sustain you. Only the love of God will protect you in all circumstances. The love of God will lift you out of every trial. The love of God will raise you high above all the perceived dangers in this world into a climate of perfect peace and safety. The love of God will transport you into a state of mind that nothing can threaten. The love of God will transport you into a state of mind that nothing can disturb. The love of God will transport you into a state of mind where nothing can intrude upon the eternal calm of the child of God. Don't put your faith in the worthless. The worthless will fail you. Put all your faith in the love of God within you, eternal, changeless, and forever unfailing. Putting your faith in the love of God is the answer to whatever confronts you today through the love of God within you, through the love of God within you, through the love of God within you, within you, within you, within you, through the love of God within you, through the love of God within you. You can resolve all seeming difficulties. You can resolve all seeming difficulties. You can resolve all seeming difficulties. Through the love of God within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. Tell yourself this often today. It's a declaration of release from the belief in fear. It's a declaration of release from the belief in fear. To tell yourself that you are sustained by the love of your Creator. It is your acknowledgement of the truth about yourself that you are sustained by love. You are sustained by real love. Let this idea that you are sustained by the love of God sink deep into your consciousness. Repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. I am sustained by the love of God. 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 Let related thoughts come to help you to recognize that what you just told yourself is the truth. Let no idle thoughts and foolish thoughts enter to disturb your mind. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection. Don't let any idle, foolish thoughts of worry enter to disturb your innocent mind. That's the kingdom of God. That's the resting place. So the thought we want to take into this time, the idea that we want to use, the idea that we want to support, the idea that we want to see grow, the idea that we want to see manifest, I am sustained by the love of God. 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 You are 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 sustained by the love of God. We 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 are sustained by the love of God. I am entitled to miracles. 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 You are 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 entitled to miracles. We 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 are entitled to miracles. You 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 are entitled to miracles. Major turning point in your growth. A major turning point in your growth comes when you begin to take responsibility for everything that happens. When you realize that it's possible, when you realize that it's possible to create the life you want, it's possible to create the life you want, even if you don't know yet how you're going to do it. It's possible to create the life you want, even if you don't know how you're going to do it yet. You and the Holy Spirit, you and your higher self become the captain of your ship. You create your reality through your thoughts. You create your reality through your thoughts, emotions, beliefs, and intent, which determine your vibration. And your vibration determines the people, objects, events, and circumstances you attract to your life. Your vibration determines. Your vibration determines the people, objects, events, and circumstances you attract into your life. Your emotions and your intent determine how fast you get what you're thinking about. You create your own reality. You can create any reality you want. You are entitled to miracles. You are entitled to miracles. And you are sustained by the love of God. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm looking for the loving faces.
Right here.
Okay. That one right there. That one right there. That one right there. Another one right there. I see them all over.
We made it for the chair.
Huh?
We made it for the chair.
Made it for the chair.
Obviously.
Hear ye, hear ye. Remember only this. You need not believe the ideas. You need not accept the ideas. You need not even welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. Hear ye, hear ye. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. Some of the ideas you will find hard to believe. And others may seem to be quite startling. You aren't asked to judge the ideas at all. Their use will give the ideas meaning to you and will show you that the ideas are true. We're going to be on page 24 in the teacher's manual. And this is a really deep section. As a matter of fact, it's so deep that I'm gonna take my time going through it. Okay, how can you get rid of the perception of one thing being more difficult than another? How can the perception of order of difficulties be avoided? I'm gonna read the paragraph first and we go back and discuss it. The belief in order of difficulties is the basis for the world's perception. The world's perception is based on differences, on uneven background, shifting foreground, on unequal heights and diverse sizes, on varying degrees of darkness and light, and thousands of contrasts in which each thing seen competes with every other in order to be recognized. For example, a larger object overshadows a smaller one. A brighter thing draws the attention from another that has less intensity of appeal. And a more threatening idea, or one conceived of as desirable by the world's standards, completely upsets the mental balance. What the body's eyes behold is only conflict. Look not to your body's eyes for peace and understanding. The body's eyes only see differences. When we look around the room, we only see differences, unequal sizes, unequal backgrounds, one thing drawing our attention more than another thing drawing our attention. So the body's eyes only see things in competition with each other for attention. So the Course says, don't look to your eyes for peace. Don't look to your eyes for understanding. Okay, that's the point of the first one. Okay, then it says, illusions are always illusions of differences. That's a powerful thought. So an illusion is a false idea of us being different. Like all of this is just part of whatever all of this is. This is just one thing, but we've divided it up into a lot of different things by focusing on the sizes, shapes, the color, the brightness. But it's the same thing, but we're just focusing in with our eyes on different aspects of it. That's why we see conflict. So the Course is saying, how could an illusion be anything other than the illusion of differences? Here's the definition of illusion, because the Course uses the term illusion a lot. It says, by definition, an illusion is an attempt to make something real that is regarded of major importance, but it's recognized as being untrue. In other words, it's not true, but your mind seeks to make it true out of your mind's intensity of desire to have it for itself. You know, it's not true, but I'm going to make it true because I want it to be true. How many of you have done that in relationships? It wasn't true, but you want it to be true, so you made it true. Even though it was an illusion. All right. And the key word was, I made it true out of my intensity of desire. Right? And so illusions are travesties of creation. The illusions are attempts to bring truth to lies. In other words, your mind finds the truth unacceptable. The mind revolts against the truth and then gives itself an illusion of victory. In other words, an insane mind finds health a burden. So it retreats into feverish dreams. And in these dreams, the mind is separate, different from other minds, with different interests of its own, and able to gratify its needs at the expense of others. So according to the Course in Miracles, what we are experiencing is not life. What we are experiencing is a feverish dream. A feverish dream is a dream where it looks like we're separate, different, with our own interests, and we're able to gratify our desires at the expense of somebody else. He says, that's a feverish dream. Yeah, I'm revolting against the idea that I'm one with you. So now I think I'm separate from you, different from you, with a lot of different interests other than yours. And the Course is saying, and I'll try to gratify my need at the expense of yours. I look out for me more than I look out for you. So, I'm having a feverish dream. Okay? Now, where do all these differences come from? He says, now certainly these differences seem to be in the world outside. It's like when you look at me and you look around the room, it looks like the difference is in the world outside. But it is surely the mind that's judging what the eyes behold. Right? So whatever you look at, it's your mind that's judging it. So when you look at me, you're really looking at your judgments. Right? Now, if you're having any other judgment other than that I'm spectacularly beautiful and cool, now that's how you know you're having a feverish dream. And you know you're not seeing things correctly. Okay? Because if you see it correctly, you'll go, damn, he's fine. Okay, now. Some people say correct me here, I can tell. That's the truth. If anybody looks at you and they see anything but love, the error is on their part, because you know you're loving and lovable. Aren't you loving and lovable? And juicy, and juicy, and juicy, right? Yeah, juicy, that's everywhere. Juicy everywhere, right? Somebody else see anything other than that, then they're seeing a judgment. They're seeing their judgment, right? So can we agree that we're really not seeing the room and we're really not seeing the people in the room? We're just seeing our judgments and interpretations of the people in the room?
Yeah.
Okay, so really we don't know what anybody in the room looks like.
We don't know what the room looks like.
Right, if you don't even know me, how could you have an opinion about me? Unless you're judging me. You see what I'm saying? Especially when somebody sees you for the first time. If they got any kind of opinion about you, they're full of judgment. Because they haven't had an interaction with you. What they'll do is they'll judge you by the other people before you. Because they think that's wisdom. Even though they never met you. So they're not really dealing with you. They're dealing with somebody that's not there. Somebody that used to be. Then they wonder why they repeat the same situation again. You know what I'm saying? Because they're projecting onto the new person what they experienced in the old person, and then excluding everything that's different from the old person so that they end up with the old person. Or whatever it is. Okay, so let's say this again, because the Course is running down exactly how we see things. It says, it's the mind that interprets the eyes' messages. It's the mind that gives the messages of your eyes meaning. And it's this meaning that doesn't exist in the world outside at all. Because obviously, if you're having a judgment of who I am, then that judgment isn't in an outside world. That judgment is in your mind. So that means that the world you see is in your mind. That if you want to gain control over the world, the only way you can gain control over your world is to gain control over your mind, because your mind is giving meaning to your world, and then you're reacting to the meaning that you're giving to it. Okay? Okay, then it says, right here, you reading along with me? Okay, the Course in Miracles is awesome when you do it together and you read it together. That's why in my classes I focus on the book and focus on reading it together, because
Most people haven't heard the course, they study the course. And so if we just get together and go to discussing our personal problems, we're really not learning the course. You know, so my class is for people who want to hear the course. And then we can apply it to our stuff. But we want to hear the course, don't we?
We do!
Yeah, okay. So, because the course is going to say things we never thought of. Like, for instance, when it says, it's hierarchy of values. He says, what is seen as reality is simply what your mind prefers. I like that. And it says, its hierarchy of values is projected outward, and then it's like, I'm going to project my values outward, and I'm going to send my body's eyes to go find what I value. Let's say I value butts.
Crazy. Round butts.
Okay, now, if I value round butts, I'm going to send my eyes out to find all the round butts in the room.
You know what I'm saying? If I value clothes, then as soon as somebody walk in, the first thing I'm going to be looking at is what they wear, because I'm going to send my eyes to find the thing that I value.
You see what I'm saying? It's like, and that's what the course is saying. We don't realize that that's how we see everything. First we value, then we look out and project our values on everything around us, and then we go look for the thing that we value. And whatever we don't value, we don't see. So let's say that love is orange and fear is yellow. And I'm a mind full of fear and suspicion and guilt. Well, if I'm a mind full of fear and suspicion and guilt, I'm only going to see the orange. Yellow could be there, but I won't pay any attention to it because I'm only seeing orange. So I'm looking at the fear, the love is right there, but I'm only looking at the fear. And the closer I look at the fear, the more it looks like it's nothing else but that. So people who are full of fear and suspicion and guilt, this is the world they see. It's another world out there, but they don't see it because they don't value it, so they don't send their eyes to find it. Now the person that's about love, the exact same thing is happening. They don't see all the fear and the conflict and the chaos. So it's almost like we're living in two different worlds simultaneously. And depending on how you think, you go back and forth between the love world and the fear world, and the love world and the fear world. And we'll do it with people. I love you, I hate you. I love you, I hate you. What I'm doing is just changing judgments and therefore seeing a different you. I'm like a radio station, and you can tune into any channel you want. Some people only tune into the love channel with me. Some people tune into the fear channel. But it's what they're focusing on. So everybody with me so far? That this is what's happening all the time in perception. All the time. And that fascinates me, because if that's true, then it's possible that there could be a world I don't even see.
Yeah.
It's possible there could be people that are really cool that I never see. And the course says it says it's more like this.
That we're looking this way, and then he's just trying to get us to turn around and look that way. And you'll notice this side of the room looks very different from that side of the room. So when you change your perception, your world changes. And if your world hasn't changed, no matter what you're telling yourself, you haven't changed your mind.
I've been studying for years and I'm still going through the same thing. You haven't changed your mind. You're thinking about changing your mind. You're reading about changing your mind. You're talking about it over lunch. Yeah. But you haven't changed your mind. You know how you'll know? How will you know?
Because your world will change.
Thank you. You would see. You would see more butts. Well, my world must be changing. People who have no sense of humor will never get back to the real world. You can bet that's for sure. All right. Try to be a sincere, true student, but not a serious one. Being serious slows you down. Okay? So let's go to the next paragraph. Okay, now check this out. This paragraph, if a person just remembered this paragraph, it would be enough. Okay? He says, now, the body's eyes will never see except through what? Differences. Yet it is not the messages the body's eyes bring on which perception rests. In other words, the message that you get from what you see comes from your own mind evaluating the eyes' messages. So only the mind is responsible for seeing. For instance, when you go to bed at night, your eyes are closed, but you still see stuff. Don't you? Your mind can see without your eyes. It's only your mind that's seeing right now. Because it's your mind that's evaluating the messages that your body is giving. So it's really your mind that's seeing, and therefore it's your mind that's determining how you're feeling right now. Now, the part of you that wants to keep you in misery, that part of you is going to say, it's everything outside of yourself is making you miserable, and as soon as you change everything outside yourself and everybody outside yourself, then you're going to be a really happy person. So you got all this list of people you got to change. And as soon as I get them changed, I finally play. So you've forgotten that it's your mind that's determining your experience of those people because it's your mind that's evaluating them. So the way you feel about them is coming from you. It's not coming from them. You can call me the most horrible name in the world. I don't have to be affected by it if I don't choose to be affected by it. And I'm not going to be affected by it if I don't believe that's what I am. Now, if I believe that's what I am, I'm going to get mad. So you can always tell when someone is saying something about you that you believe is true, is you get upset when they call you that. So you've given it the value. You've given it the meaning. You know. All right? You know, like if somebody hollered out, nigga, 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 nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, brother.
Now, had I been in my unconscious place, then there'd be a chair over there right about that, right? But, I know what he means. All things in the world are neutral. It's just the meaning that you give to them that determines what influence it has. Can we get that? The Course says, everything in the world is neutral. It's neither good nor bad. It's just the way you use it that determines what it is. And it says that everything in the world is neutral, but it also says, but you don't have any neutral thoughts. Everything is neutral, but it's impossible for you to have a neutral idea about it. Wow, that's something, isn't it? See, are you kind of grasping the power of what I'm talking about? Could you kind of like guess, if you could really change your interpretation, which would in turn change your emotional reaction, then we've just heard how to control our emotions and our feelings. And if we can control our emotions and our feelings, then we can feel peaceful and pleasurable all the time, regardless of what's going on around us. And then when something's really going on cool outside of us, that's just icing on the cake, because you feel good anyway. Okay, so the Course says, only the mind is responsible for seeing. Only the mind alone decides whether what is seen is real or illusory, desirable or undesirable, pleasurable or painful. So it's my mind that determines whether it's a pleasure or whether it's a pain. It's my mind that determines whether I desire it or don't desire it. It's my mind that makes it real or makes it unreal. Okay, so are we clear about where your pleasure and your pain is coming from?
Yeah.
For instance, if someone you love came up behind you and caressed and massaged your shoulders, you probably go, that feels really, really good. If somebody you didn't like came up behind you and started massaging you, then you probably get upset. Notice that the only difference was the way you felt about who was massaging you. It wasn't the massage itself. It was the way you felt about the person that was doing it. So it was ultimately your judgment that determined how you feel about it. That's true about everything. even the thing you're upset about right now, even the thing you're worried about right now, even the thing that might be keeping you from being as happy as you could be right now, that's the process that's going on right now in your mind. If you're happy or unhappy right now, it's all in your mind. Then your body acts out your mind's desires. So then if I have a desire for pain, then my body reflects the pain. And if I have a desire for pleasure, then my body reflects the pleasure. And if I think I have a desire for pleasure and I'm experiencing pain, I have a subconscious desire for pain that's behind the idea that I want pleasure. If I want to be in abundance and all I draw is lack, then no matter what I'm telling myself on the surface, subconsciously, I value lack.
I hate that.
Can't be any other way.
Hear ye, hear ye. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. Okay. I know. Okay.
Control it.
Sure.
Hmm?
Because I want to change it.
It's so much easier to change your mind than to change somebody else's. And in changing your mind, you change everybody else's mind, because there's just one man in the first place. And your subconscious is only reacting to what you've constantly fed yourself consciously. So all you have to do is start focusing on something new. Be patient while you're in the transition. You know, you order chicken, and you change your mind. It's going to take a minute for them to bring the fish out of the back kitchen. Okay. If you ordered the chicken, they're going to bring the chicken. Even though now you want fish. And then you might have to say, well, I changed my mind. I don't want chicken. I want fish. You got to say that about some of these people that show up in your life. Oh, you chicken. I want fish. Take this chicken back. I don't want this chicken. I got this chicken enough. So some of you all might be having new orders, but the old order still cooking. And the old order shows up, and when the old order shows up, if you're really ready for the new order, you've got to turn down the old order. But see, people don't turn down the old order. They say the chicken might taste better this time. I'll try the chicken one more time. I'm just barbecued this time. Last time it was fried. But it's still the same chicken. It's chicken. Fish is different. Okay, so when you say you want something new, you're saying you really want something different. See, the Course says something in one part of the book that goes something like, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's like, it says one of the things that we want to do is stay exactly the way we are, but without the suffering it entails.
Yep.
So we're looking for an answer that's going to allow us to stay exactly the same way we are, but without the problem that we think we have and we're being that way. Yep. So change is something that we resist. Because the Lord says our first experience of change was to change from a heavenly love state of spirit and oneness to a state where we're now on the lookout for carjackers. So change doesn't exactly turn us on. When you mention change, it's hard for people to imagine that the change would always be for the better. So the more closed-minded a person is, the more they're afraid of change. But it's really a misguided attempt to create stability.
Could we be afraid of the mistake that we originally made? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. We're bringing the past into the present, and we are judging what could happen today by a state of mind that we had at another time. And if you really changed, then even if you did the same thing you thought you did before, if your mind has really changed, you're going to get a different result. So you really can't judge the validity of what you're trying to do now based on when you tried to do it when you were less aware. You know, it's like I tried to love 3 years ago. Yeah, but maybe 3 years ago your idea of what love is totally different from the way it is now. So if you would have used the truth that you're learning right now, then you would get a different result right now. But you got to use the truth that you're learning right now. It's like having a headache, right? And then I go to the medicine cabinet and I just stare at the aspirin. And I just, I'm going, I still got the freaking headache. How come the headache won't go away? I'm looking at the aspirin. That's the way the average person approaches self-awareness. They read, they philosophize, they analyze, they talk about it, but they never take it. They never apply it. It's not until you take the remedy that you get the healing. You can look at the bottle all night. You can read the directions about the best way to take it. But until you actually take it, nothing's going to happen. You read the directions about the best way to take it. But until you take it, nothing's going to happen. And so you get disgusted, throw this down, and go look for another direction book. We call it our latest path. I got bored with listening to these directions. I'm through with the course. Now I'm going to read the directions of The Secret. And I listen to that, and I think I'll do The Disappearance of the Universe. And so that's just like getting a lot of different instructions about how to bake a cake, but never baking the cake. You just go get another cookbook. So people go and come into your home, and you have many cookbooks that you call your library. Cookbooks everywhere. Nary a cake in sight. Amen. You know I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
You know I'm telling the truth. It's not until you apply the ideas that you get the result, but that's the frightening part, because when you apply the idea, your reality is going to become shaken up. It is. I'm just going to tell you that right now. If you apply the truth, there's going to be some changes that's going to happen. But these changes are going to be for your own best interest, and all these changes are going to be helpful, because it's just moving you back in the landing with your true path and your true self and your true identity. And some of us are so far off our path that it looks like there's some radical shift that has to happen for us to get on the right track. So no matter what's going on in your life right now, since you decided to wake up to who you really are, whatever those changes are all part of moving you into your divine place. Even if it's frightening you right now. Okay? All right? Okay? Okay. Now, it is in the sorting out and categorizing activities of the mind that errors in perception enter. It's in the sorting out and categorizing that correction must be made. What does that mean? Whenever you see read something, of course, you go, what does that mean? Then read the next sentence. The mind classifies what your body's eyes brings to your mind, doesn't it? According to your mind's preconceived values. And then your mind judges where each sense datum fits best. What basis could be faultier than this? Unrecognized by itself, your mind has itself asked to be given what will fit into these categories. And having done so, your mind concludes that the categories must be true. And on this the judgment of all differences rests, because it's on this the judgments of the world depend. Can this confused and senseless reasoning be depended on for anything?
No!
No.
No, that's good. I love it. I love enthusiasm. Enthusiasm creates. It makes things happen. You know what I'm saying? You know, you tell somebody I love you, and you tell somebody, I love you.
Can you move on the floor?
See the difference? You know, people that, you know, they want all this excitement, but they don't want to give it.
Yeah.
I used to be so bashful when I was a child that when I came in the room, I crawled along the baseboard of the room, and I wouldn't even stand up. So, you know, I guess I'm doing better. I'm nervous before I start any class. It takes a minute for me to like get in there and remember that I'm not among strangers. I'm among my brothers and sisters who love me whether they know it or not. Did you know it?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. All right. So I'm gonna do the last two paragraphs here. But oh, this is really good though. Okay, now, this is going to be really trippy. Let me see if I can get this across. There can be no order of difficulty in healing, because all sickness is illusion. What? All sickness is illusion. 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 What does that mean? Well, is it harder to dispel the belief of the insane in a larger hallucination as opposed to a smaller one? In other words, will a person agree more quickly to the unreality of a louder voice he hears than that of a softer voice? What does that mean? Will a person dismiss more easily a whispered demand to kill than a shout? and do the number of pitchforks the devils he sees carrying affect their credibility and his perception? In other words, if there's no such thing, if I told you Bugs Bunny was real, and you said, no, Bugs Bunny isn't real, would you believe that Bugs Bunny was more real if I put a hat on Bugs Bunny? If I told you, I want you to go rob a bank. And you said, no. Then I go, I want you to go rob a bank. Would that make a difference because it was a louder voice? That's the way pain is. Pain and upset is that shout that makes you want to believe that the illusion is real, while when it looks like it's something minor, you go, oh, that's just an illusion. But the bigger thing, you go, that couldn't possibly be an illusion. It's just something to convince us even more that we're separate from love. And the more intense the pain, the more you're trying to fool yourself about your ability to be loved. The more lonely you are, the more you're trying to fool yourself about how easy it would be for you to have loving relationships. How broke you are, that's your attempt to deny the abundance that's your natural right as a child of God, because for some misguided reason, you subconsciously don't believe you deserve it. But you do. Because denial absolutely is a reinforcement in the idea that's being denied. If I'm denying love, then it's got to be some love to deny it. If I'm denying my abundance, it must be some abundance to deny. If I'm denying my peace, there's got to be some peace there. So really, all your disbelief is actually proving that you do believe in the thing that you're disbelieving.
Oh, yeah.
And the more you revolt against something, the more you believe in it. That's deep. The quote says you revolt against a concept because you believe in it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm mad when somebody say I'll go to hell. Well, the more upset I get about it, the more I give value to that thought.
Yep.
So a denial is actually an affirmation.
Denial is really an affirmation in the thing that you're pretending it isn't there. I don't believe in God. There's got to be a God for you not to believe in. I don't believe in love. There's got to be a love for you not to believe in. So what I'm saying to you tonight basically is that you all have this loving perception, abundant world that's just as real or realer than the thing that may have you a little upset, but this is what you're focusing in on. And the Course is saying, all right, here we go. I'm going to help you look this way. But you're going to have that little in-between state where you think you're losing your friggin' mind. Amen. Yeah, you're going to be disoriented. You're going to be confused. Yeah, he said you're going to be disoriented. You're going to be confused. But don't be afraid that you're going to be lifted up and hurled into reality. So time is kind when you use it for your awakening. Time kicks your butt when you're using it to stay in an unconscious state. But time becomes cool when you want to use it for love and joy and peace. Time will keep gentle pace with you in your transition. And it won't take as long for you to have the new experience as it did for you to make the old one. Because the whole universe wants you to be joyous and to be happy. You're the only one that wants you to be miserable. That's nobody else plotting against your happiness tonight. You miserable because you are telling yourself something in your mind, and you're evaluating what's going on in your life right now in such a way that it's causing you discomfort and disorientation and unhappiness. And I meant to tell you, the people who are looking at the fear, they attract other people that are looking at the fear, and then they all don't you see that fear?
Yeah, honey, I see that fear.
What about you?
I see that fear too.
I don't know what that crazy black man talking about. You gotta be scared in this world.
You're right.
Right? And we call it society. This is society. Right? So you cannot use your eyes to prove anything other than what you believe. They're lovely liars. They just show you what you believe. But in the meantime, the person that moves to the love, guess what? And you know, it comes faster because love is not waiting on time. Did you know that? Love is waiting on welcome. The good stuff is waiting for you to welcome it. It has nothing to do with how many months, how many years, how much you got to study before the good stuff get here. The good stuff is waiting for you to welcome it. The fear stuff comes in on its own. You know what I'm saying? If a guy was somewhere and a guy wanted to talk to you, if he was a loving guy, then he's waiting for you to give some indication that you want to spend some time with him to talk to him. If he's a fearful guy, he's going to want to talk to you and follow you around and bug you whether you want him or not. That is the difference between fear and love. Fear enters of its own volition, and love waits on welcome. That's why people wonder why they don't see the love, but they see so much fear. Well, fearful minds get. Loving minds share. And fearful minds get. And they don't think there's enough to go around. So fearful minds are all in competition, jealousy, insecurity, and fear. And so they attract other minds in jealousy, insecurity, and fear, because no loving mind is going to be so insane as to join with them. You know, if you really got a lot of sense, you know, if you saw me coming down the street, you know, I'm going, oh. You're not going to ask for my phone number. You know, you might not attack me, but you're not going to ask for my phone number because you recognize I'm slightly off. Don't you realize that that's what more conscious beings are doing toward us? They're doing the same thing. They're like not attacking us, but they're not approaching us. A loving mind will never attack you, but it's certainly not going to join with fear. So remember that. The more you be it, the more you're going to attract other people who are like that. But you have to be it to have it. All right, I'm heading in the home stretch. Okay. All right. He says, when you realize that they're all illusions, they would disappear. When you realize it's all illusions, it would disappear. When you realize it's an illusion, it would disappear. And so it is with healing. The properties of illusions, which seem to make them different, are really irrelevant. The properties of an illusion are as illusionary as they are. Donald Duck's hat is as unreal as Donald Duck. So any aspect of an illusion is still an illusion. So here's a very, very important paragraph that explains a lot of stuff that people go through when they study the truth. It says, the body's eyes will continue to see differences. So even though you're on the path, you're going to continue to see differences. Hello?
Yeah.
We're going to continue to see differences.
Yeah.
So don't be freaking out about that. So yeah, I used to think, but if I'm really getting this, I won't see differences. The body's eyes will continue to see differences, but the mind that has let itself be healed will what? No longer acknowledge the difference. I know it looks like we're different, but I'm not going to acknowledge that we're different. I'm going to say we're the same. What does that mean? Well, it means that there'll still be those who seem to be sicker than others. And it looks like the body's eyes will report their changed appearances as before. You look a little bit sicker than you did yesterday. This is the body's eyes reporting.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm reporting that you look kind of pitiful. Okay, and then the course says, but the healed mind will put all of these appearances in all in one category. What's that? They are unreal. Now, what does the word unreal mean? It means, according to the course, it's kind of different from the way that we think of real and unreal. When the course says real, it's talking about something that's constant and permanent and everlasting. Okay? When the course talks about unreal, it's talking about something that's temporary, that changes, and that doesn't last. So when it says it's an illusion, it doesn't mean that you're not experiencing this as being here. It means it will not be here forever. Why is my body an illusion? Because it will not be around forever. I have discarded more bodies than I care to talk about. This is just my latest. Thank you. And it's just about to wear on out. And it's just, well, thank you. Y'all are projecting really good energies on my body. I feel it. It's great. Because the purpose of my body is to communicate to those who believe that they're bodies through the body that they're not bodies. So the purpose of my body is to tell you that you're loved, and the purpose of my body is to communicate that we're one and to communicate this truth and to show it to you and let some good love come through it to you. But I'm not my body. You fall in love with my body, it's just like falling in love with that speaker. It's just the medium through which the communication as me comes through. When you're with somebody, you're really with the mind. You're not really with the body. And if you really want to judge real quick whether or not you have a real relationship with somebody, ask yourself, if they didn't have a body, would you still want to be with them? If you had to just deal with their thoughts, would you want to be with them? If you could only be with their mind, would you really like to be with that person that you're with if all you did was dealt with their thinking? If you say yes, then if you say yes, then you probably have a relationship that's based on something real. If you say no, then you know your relationship is based on something that's unreal.
So what if your mind says yes and your body says no?
That pretty much is the average person. If your mind says yes and your body says no, your body is getting you in touch with what you really subconsciously believe, because your body is your communication device. Really, your body is like your radar detector. It's almost like you should ask yourself, what do I feel about this person? More so than what I think about this person. Because your body is letting you know what you truly feel, because it's your communication medium. In other words, you could say you like me, but you know if you don't by the way you feel. So you know your feelings tell more the truth of how you're really thinking than your thoughts do. Some people come to the class because of the way it feels more than anything they understand what the hell I'm talking about. Right, because their body's letting them know that it's receiving something that's coming from a cool space. And it's not even necessary that their mind necessarily gets engaged. Would you really want to just increase in that feeling of joy and that feeling of peace and that feeling of love? And if you increase it, then it draws more to you, because you are magnetic. You are incredibly magnetic. We're down to the last couple of sentences. Y'all take a breath with me, please. And remember that these classes are available, you know, to purchase, to listen to later. And that's why I got that folder up there, because we forget. Because it's opposite to the way that we normally think. And while I'm doing this real quick, would you pass this around? If I don't have you... some contact information. Your name and your email is fine, because I'm a technophobe, so email is my thing. But I'd like to be able to get everybody's address and stuff, and contact information, because there's going to be more stuff that I'm going to be doing that I want to be able to let you know about. Now, 2007, we're going to heaven. Mm-hmm. This is 007. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Have you had enough?
Yeah.
Have you had enough? Anybody in here beside me that's reached their limit? You really have.
Yes.
Okay, if you really reach your limit, there's one thing you'll say, and this is how you can tell. The Course says you will say, there must be a better way.
There must be a better way.
Yeah. And if you're really at that point that you're going, there must be a better way, then you know you're at the turning point. Yes. And then that means you're having a spiritual awakening. Because when you're having a spiritual awakening, minor intrusions of discomfort bother you more than before. I'll say it again. When you're actually waking up, you don't handle pain as well as you used to. When you're waking up, it's not that you handle pain better. It's that you don't believe that's something that you want to live in anymore when you're waking up. And a lot of people are feeling like that right now. I've had it. I'm ready now. I don't need to do this one more time. I'm ready now. And some of y'all got that look. That look in your eyes. So the Course says what? The Course says your eyes are going to report the change appearances as before, but if your mind has been healed, you're going to put everything you see in one category that is unreal. What does that mean? It won't last forever. Then it goes, this is the gift of his teacher, the understanding that only two categories are meaningful in sorting out the messages that you receive from what appears to be the outside world. I said again, there are only two categories that you should put anything into that you see. And of these two categories, just one of the categories is real. Just as reality is wholly real, reality is something that's apart from size and shape and time and place. That's deep. Reality is beyond size and shape and time and place, because differences can exist within reality, but illusions are also without distinctions. Illusions are all the same too. So the one answer to sickness or unhappiness of any kind is what? Healing. If you're unhappy right now in any area of your life, the only thing that the Spirit wants to give you is a healing, not a punishment. Not a punishment. Love wants to give you a healing. If you're unhappy about something right now, concerned about something concerning yourself or anybody else, you got to claim that the universe wants you to have a healing. And the Course says the one answer to all your illusions is the truth. And that's what we're receiving right now. We're receiving the truth, which is you are loving, you are lovable, you deserve to be loved, you are a child of God, you are sustained by God, you are entitled to a solution and an answer and peace in this situation that you're in. This is the truth. Now, no matter what the situation is that you're in right now, you can give yourself more peace about that situation by applying what we heard tonight, which is what? That you are the one that's interpreting everything that you see, and you're the one that's giving it the meaning, which means you're the one that's determining the way you feel about it. So, since I'm going to see stuff, he says, we'll put it all in two categories. You know, it's either real or unreal, and the Course says it's either love or call for love. So when I look out here in the world, I'm either seeing love or call for love. And there's a whole lot of calls for love out here. Don't you see a lot of them?
Yeah.
Tons of them, isn't it? So out of everything you see, you're either seeing love or call for love. So those of you who have the fear perception, and most of us do, or we wouldn't be here, right? Then what you're no longer seeing fear, you're seeing, I'm seeing a call for love. And then with some more fearful people who get on the path, get together, they go, I'm seeing my mama call for love, my sister call for love, my boss call for love, my financial situation is a call for love, my body's a call for love. And everything in my life is making me unhappy. It's a call for love. So all of a sudden, your fear becomes a prayer for just the opposite. And all that energy that you've been using to limit yourself becomes an energy that's requesting the very opposite of the thing that you're afraid about. And then you begin to draw it to you. Thank you for listening this much with me tonight. Holy Spirit! Woo! New year! We got a new year in the house!
My past is over if you touch me not. My past is over.
stuff that happened to you in the past. We all had some good stuff. This is what you bring, the good stuff from the past. And tell yourself, according to the course, only the loving thoughts are real. Only the loving thoughts are real. Only the loving thoughts are real from the past. Only the loving thoughts are real from my past. Only the loving thoughts are real from my past. Only my loving thoughts are real from my past. Only my loving thoughts are real from my past. Only my loving thoughts are real from the past. Only the loving thoughts are real from the past. Only the loving thoughts are real from the past. Only the loving thoughts are real from the past. Only the loving. Okay, we're in a brand new year. And we go, the present is my point of power. The present is my point of power.
I love you all.